And you know what you mentioned there also about the technology. I think that's an important aspect to all of this, because we know that the VMADs, or the active denial system, which you know, DARPA and a few other military subsidiaries, these companies have been working at, is something that's been around for a long time. And one article that we have up on Red Ice right now is about how this active denial system was actually converted into, they just changed the frequency a little bit, and basically you could use it as a, you know, an amplifier that, you only can hear if you're in the vicinity of, the range of the acoustics, you know. And they even did, I think the article was called Death Ray Replaced by the Voice of God, you know. So, this isn't sci-fi, this is, you know, happening right now, you know.
There's something that's quite not concerned me, but obviously I've observed happening in this country and others, is that over the past 10 years, there's, you know, hundreds of these tetramaths that have gone up all around the country. You know, the little square oblong radar satellite things that get put onto masts.
Yeah, the cell phone, Wi-Fi.
Everyone thinks that the cell phone and Wi-Fi, mm-hmm. but they're actually for the emergency services. They're supposed to be used for like a separate thing for the emergency services. But basically, you know, the amount of these masts that are going up around the place is unbelievable. And you know, there's a website on the internet called TetraWatch, and it tells you what frequencies these masks can work on. And they can work on theta, beta, delta. They can work through the whole range of frequencies that can mess around with the human brain.
Yeah.
But aside from that, I mean, I was in Mexico, and I was traveling around Mexico, and on, you know, before I went, I was thinking, great, I'm going to get away from these tetra masks and see what it's like to have good natural headspace again.
Yeah.
You know, without any of these electric vibes running through my brain. And you know, as soon as I flew into the Yucatan, what did I see? Well, they've got the masks there, but they're about four times as like high. Mm. And I was driving around the Yucatan, and I was like, you know, I've got to get to the bottom of this. What are these things? I don't understand what they are. And we drove into a city, capital city in Yucatan called Mérida. And I had this urge to go up a certain direction in the street, and basically walked up the street. And I could see one of these big masks coming close to me, but it seemed bigger than the rest of them. And it turned out that I'd found the central site for where all these masts originate from.
Mm-hmm.
And I went towards the gate, and there's this big buzz, and then this security man popped up, and I was like, right, best not do that. And I looked at pretty much towards the door, and on the door was the symbol for the French consulate, and there was a picture of ISIS with the 12 stars.
Hmm.
So I was thinking, well, that's a bit suspect. But then I looked through the gate where I'd been basically warned off from going, and there's this huge logo on the side of the building that was like holding this mast, and it was an eye, and there was a pyramid in the eye.
Here we go. Huh.
And this is in Mexico, right?
Yeah.
And the official story of Mexico is that these masts are media masts. They're just transmitting TV everywhere.
Uh-huh, okay.
But obviously, you know, give them entertainment and they'll have these masts go up. They won't question them.
Hmm.
But what are all these masts and tetramasts doing? I think there's, in a place called Ilkley, which is, 30 minutes from Leeds, there's a personal friend of mine goes to a tennis club. And in this particular tennis club, I can't remember whether it was the government or whoever it was who paid them, but basically paid them £20,000 a year to put one tetramast up in that site.
Yeah.
Basically, if there's that many of them, you know, there's hundreds of thousands of them, and they're paying £20,000 a year for every one of them.
We had a guy called Walter Graham on the program, and I highly recommend that in regards to just the overall, you know, danger and what potentially is going on with the whole Wi-Fi, cell phone, decked phone, everything cordless, basically. But I think it was Walter, and I'm sorry if I'm mistaken this, but I think it was Walter who talked about these tetramasts, that this is the new system that the police use, because they managed to move away from the old, you know, analog radio frequency system that they used, and wanted to bring in a new one, and they needed a more powerful system also, because they were competing, as it were, with all the other Wi-Fi and cell phone thing going on.
But
here,
I mean, apparently that's the official story on them. But apparently, most of the police are still running around using the BlackBerrys.
Okay.
Which is obviously insinuating that they're not really using the system that they've got set up.
Really? That's interesting. Mm. So, yeah. So it might be, I mean, what you're suggesting here also then, I guess, a little bit is that this, the infrastructure for beaming signals, if you will, into people's heads is basically laid out now. If you look at the Wi-Fi or cell phone system, they're looking at making this, implementing this on a global level. They're talking about global coverage. There isn't one single spot on the entire earth that you can go not to have coverage, you know, with your cell phone company, you know.
yeah, definitely. I mean, I think it's definitely all part of it. There's something with electric energy.
Yeah.
This is almost like alien. I don't know what it is, but you know, and the fact that it's creeping up around us and we're all being plugged in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And even I think it was, you know, Tesla and others who talked about the different different characters of electrical light, and apparently right now we're using one which is apparently, you know, not the best version of
Tesla had formulated a system that operated without wires, and it, you know, ran through the earth as opposed to overhead, didn't it?
Of course.
I think that's what was set up there.
Exactly. And even, you know, the whole AC/DC thing going on, direct current, there's another way that you can another frequency you can run the electricity on, which isn't apparently as harmful as it is right now.
Even
people have discovered what's known as the Lilly wave within the electrical signal is basically a carrier wave also, and they've discovered the Lilly wave running throughout a lot of the different electrical grids. And there's a whole story behind that. We don't have time to get into all of that, but do a Google search if you're curious on the Lilly wave and read up on that, because that's fascinating, you know. So
my personal opinion is that they decided to insist on the current system of electric distribution that we've got, because if you look at what a pylon is an obelisk with a few things strapped on the side.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? It's the same shape, and I'm sure it's connected somewhere.
It was very interesting. I wanted to ask you a little bit about the also what you might think how they will present if we go back, you know, think of either Project Blue Book or Blue Beam or something similar, some big event or whatever, and after this point maybe they would introduce like the new Messiah or whatever, and you theorized a little bit that this is connected with Prince William then. How do you think like a presentation of that would be in effect, and how would people be presented to an idea like that, or to continue the question, would that even be necessary to a certain extent, because people on one level always, you know, already kind of worship the monarch, you know, the royal family.
Not enough to create a one world religion government, I wouldn't have said. But
it needs something more. Is that what you're saying? It needs a boost.
Yeah, I mean, as I've said before, like one current theme that runs between Christianity and Islam is the angel Gabriel, which, as I've said, could be personified as ISIS, identified with ISIS, and I've obviously identified that with Princess Diana. And I'm obviously, this is, you know, I've got what I think one day might change the next, how I see this thing running out, but I wouldn't be surprised if it involves some reemergence of Diana. Because if you look in the book of Revelations, for instance, it refers to the woman clothed in the sun, standing on the moon, descending with the 12 stars around her head, essentially, which refers to Isis coming down and giving birth, you know, to the son of God of sorts. I'm not sure. I mean, my personal opinion and how I see this unfolding, and obviously, I'm not saying that it's one specific event. It's gonna be a bit of time in which this unfolds.
Of course, yeah.
And the way I see it unfolding is essentially that it's going to involve a two-stage sequence, you know, like a double dupe of sorts. Mm-hmm. And I think the very first stage could be associated with extraterrestrial visitors. I think that could be the very first start, like, stage of the plan. Yeah. And then, obviously, moving into the, you know, the new Messiah and, you know, this sort of second coming, if you want to call it that. That's like the, you know, that's like the, that's the one to clinch it. You'll have the aliens come down and then you've got the second stage and that'll clinch it and everyone will go with that, not thinking that, you know, it's potentially all a big hoax.
Yeah. Yeah, so what you mean?
Do you know what I mean? Like a double dupe, like they're going to, because that could really reinforce it in everyone's minds.
Of course. And, I mean, I remember...
I mean, so I was just going to say, however it plays out, if this thing does play out as I kind of envisage it, it's just going to be one hell of a light show.
Of course, well, it's going to be a spectacle with no end. So,
yeah, better than any Hollywood movie.
Oh, of course, of course. No, I mean, it's incredible. I'm thinking of a few comments that, you know, Marcus Allen did, for instance. He talked about the Skunk Works, you know, the one of the companies behind... some of the more advanced stealth planes and the bombers that had, you know, that they had incredible technology that, you know, it's so much more beyond what we even can imagine. So even if we would see something really incredible, you know, up in the sky, we still have no clue if this is human technology. I mean, we might look at this as, you know, this can't be human technology. It's it's impossible because again, we're conditioned and we have all this time be compared to, the older technology. If we look at it like this, to put this in perspective, I think this is an important point. If we look at, for instance, air traffic, how airplanes have, if you will, stuck in the 60s or 70s, nothing basically has happened. We've gotten, you know, fancier seats and a few, you know, they've remodeled the design of the things a little bit, and maybe, you know, advance some of the aerodynamics so it goes a little bit better through the air or whatever.
I do believe that's part of the agenda.
Of course.
I mean, obviously the fact that, you know, that we've had no, you know, progression in technology as far as aviation is concerned.
Yeah.
I paid a visit down to the Wenceslas mine in Poland. Are you aware of that, where the Nazi Bell was supposedly operated and stuff? I took a road trip out there into the middle of nowhere, just to go look at this. Have you seen the picture of the henge and stuff?
Is that the kind of octagonal or hexagonal?
I took a trip there essentially.
Yeah, wow, nice.
Just to try and get a feel for the area, and it's desolate and it's destroyed. But there's, you know, there's obviously evidence of a huge operation going on there.
Really? Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, obviously you can follow that through, and you could easily read into the fact that we have got this technology and we've had this technology for a good 60 years now.
Yeah, of course.
And obviously the main predominant reason for not releasing it is at the moment there's acknowledgement that we've got free energy. Then obviously everything goes to pot when they're trying to charge you for all the energy coming into your house.
Of course.
It collapses the system, doesn't it?
Of course. We know about the background now, how Morgan and the other fellows, you know, hijacked some of Tesla's systems because they said, how the heck can you put a price tag on, you know, energy that just swirls throughout the air? Anyone can pick it up. We don't want that. We want something that we can be, you know, put a meter on and charge everyone for every kilowatt hour. You know, that's the plan here. And going back to that idea, looking at, for instance, how computers have evolved, moving on from like the 60s or whatever, that's a huge leap if we compare it to, you know, how cars have been developed or how, you know, again, air traffic have been developed. So
why? It's very interesting, like the evolution of technology in the sense of computers. Obviously, my opinion is it all stems from Roswell.
It's back engineer technology here. I do
believe that. I think there's something when it comes to the microchip and everything that's gone with it. It came out of the blue and it's very alien.
Oh yeah. I mean, did you know that there even are a company called Alien Technology that specializes in RFID tag? Yeah. Oh yeah, that's Alienware. That's computers.
All right.
And then you have Alien Technology, and that they are into microchipping and different RFID tags. Anyway, please continue. Yeah.
Nice. It's obviously there's when it comes to researching what the Nazis were into and stuff, when they were researching free energy and stuff like that, I mean, obviously there's loads of references to Hitler and theosophy and everything that goes with it. You know, they were big into the occult and the esoteric.
Yeah.
And you never know whether, for instance, they had perfected some form of technology through some kind of, you never know what rituals they undertook.
Yeah.
I mean, there's all the rumours about, was it Hitler and LSD? I can't remember it off the top of my head. But basically, you know, they could have been getting knowledge from wherever.
Of course, yeah.
Do you know what I mean? It's, yeah. But then when you specifically, like, go back to the Roswell incident and you look at, was it AT&T who released the first microchip about 5 years later?
Probably.
Can't remember off the top of my head.
That sounds logical, yeah. Mm.
Yeah, it emerged from the same area of America, obviously, like, you know, that's all connected with that kind of event. I don't know. Obviously, it's jogging my memory, this. But
well, exactly. And so what we're potentially looking at here, if we pull this recent little thing that we discussed here together, that this might be, okay, they've decided to advance technology in certain areas like the computer and said, okay, we gotta do something, we gotta give them the illusion of progress in some areas, because otherwise there will be too much protest or whatever. But in certain areas, let's hold it back, let's try to earn more money on the oil industry, the cars,
yeah, definitely,
all of that stuff, and then. But consequently, also how they potentially could utilize that in the end is that if they've been working on this, you know, if you will, alien technology, then with a, you know, full blown out flying discs or even, you know, frequency oriented energy, you know, vessels, who know what the heck they have at this point. But if they've been developing this for all this time within all the black ops that exists and finally kind of roll out this as a big, put on a big show for us and say and claiming that this is, you know, this is alien, this is not human.
Yeah.
I think that we would,
it could be easily done.
Very easily actually. We would very much be drawn into all of that because it would be so foreign and so, you know, weird and kind of we look upon this as magic and even if we want to be get more advanced here, this might even actually jog some genetic memory or potentially some kind of thing that is lodged within the subconscious of the human species in regards to that we might actually have been visited in the ancient paths and that might have had a big impact on humans back then, and we kind of carry this still within us, so in one way we're kind of waiting for the return of these gods, you know?
Yeah, of course. So, I mean, it's there in the films, like the chap who's releasing the movie 2012, Roland Emmerich.
Yeah.
His previous film, obviously his first two films were Stargate and Independence Day, and then his previous film, well, his most recent film, sorry, was 10,000 BC.
Yeah.
And obviously, incidentally, most people watch that film and says, does this guy know his dates? Like, because basically he'd put down the building of the pyramids to 10,000 BC.
Yeah.
And everyone's saying, well, that's completely out of the blue, you know. But obviously, this guy has been reading Graham Hancock books.
Of course.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And like, this was going out to the masses that in 10,000 BC, the pyramids were being built by a ruthless god who looked like us.
Of course. You know? Well, exactly.
Well, most people don't realise that they're looking at actually, you know, stuff that's backed by true research, like Sitchin and stuff.
Of course, yeah. So, obviously then, what happens is that people begin to potentially also question everything, which obviously is good. There's nothing wrong with that. There are many people out there who are definitely are questioning Sitchin, you know, why he had his office in, was it Rockefeller Center or whatever it was, you know, why he's...
Was he funded by them?
Exactly. What was that the case? What's going on here?
It's the same everywhere. I've got a book here, for instance, called The Gnostic Gospels by Elaine Pagels.
Yeah.
And it's, that was funded by the Rockefeller Foundation.
Hmm.
Makes you wonder, doesn't it? They're funding these things.
Of course, and this is what is important. You have to look at all the pieces of the puzzle, and even if it moves you into an area that is, you know, unpleasant or what have you. I mean, that's good. I mean, look at it and take it for what it is, and make up your own mind. That's the bottom line here.
Yeah, completely.
So exactly, because many people have even questioned the validity of the Mayan calendar. I mean, could even that be a put on, if you will?
Yeah, I've had some deliberations on this myself, because obviously the Aztec sun disk was discovered in 1790. I think it's 1790. It's in the 1790s, mm-hmm. And obviously, given that the great seal on the dollar bill was 1776. What I was talking about with Schweppes before was 1783. It was in the period of the Enlightenment.
Mm.
It was at a time when there was revealing a lot, as far as this progress was concerned. But I mean, the funniest thing I found was that basically this, the Aztec solar disk, they said that we'd lost it. We found it in 1790. Mm. It was buried under a Catholic church.
There we go.
Which was the main cathedral of New Mexico City.
Huh.
And it was underneath that.
And I find that. Yeah. Sorry to interrupt, but I just want to mention that obviously it is. It is the case that in many instances the Celtic Church they built their cathedrals upon the old religious sites in order to get the people still coming to the same site. So it's still a possibility that they build a thing on top of there and then later discovered it. But I definitely hear what you're saying here.
I don't believe the idea that they lost it, because this thing's about 4 meters high.
Of course, yeah.
It's a hard thing to lose, isn't it? It's not like you can lose it in your back pocket.
No. Exactly. I mean, and it's. It's a very good point, because it's these things are always we always are subjected to the idea that things are lost or all the libraries are burnt, all the conquistadors took all the material and burned it. And in many cases I don't think so. I think they saved it. They've taken care of the knowledge in the scriptures.
And they've not burnt them at all. They've just told people they've burned them.
Of course, exactly. And I think that if we look at 2012, then, for instance, they might be up on the game. I mean, if we look at the Vatican or the Catholic Church, they might be totally in tune with actually what is going on. They might know that there actually are a true, changes, as it were, in the cosmic properties of this particular time, and things are going to happen. But obviously, they want to utilize that energy. They want to be on top of that.
They want to use it themselves.
Of course, they want to continue their agenda and just contain the same power structure. So that even though that some of these things, within all of this might be disinformation, it might be a put on, it might be exaggerations, what have you. But it still doesn't mean that everything is fake. There still might be the very core issue here might be very true.
Well, for me, I have deliberated about the Mayans and the prophecies and stuff, and I've got a book here that's got the prophecies as translated direct. And, in the actual prophecies, they warn of the coming of Christianity and everything that goes with it. And you have to remember that obviously the Mayans, the Aztecs, the Incas and everything that's gone with them in South America and Central America, they're all indigenous.
Yeah.
Which is a completely different thing to Egypt, because, Egypt were your star worshippers, whereas Maya was all about worshipping the earth. And involved the ritual use of hallucinogenics and ayahuasca and all that goes with it. And obviously, it's a different source of knowledge for me.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how I perceive it. And that's why I've still got faith in essentially, what the Mayans talked of.
It's a little bit like the Egyptians potentially in a way are looking more outwardly. They're looking out into the heavens, out into the sky, up towards the stars. And potentially the other version of that is that they're looking inside to the inner cosmos and making discoveries about the selves. Obviously, that took place, I think, within Egyptian religion and theology too. That was an incredibly long time span, incredibly long different dynasties ruling, and there were different agendas that was going on behind that whole
I mean, piece. One thing I find strange about the whole thing is that, for instance, look through the history of Egypt and the civilization, and it's always, always been attacking the area of Babylon, Iraq.
Yeah.
There's always been that continual war with the force from Egypt. And it makes you wonder what it's really trying to fight, because it's been there all along.
Yeah. I mean,
the center, the capital of, well, it was where civilization started, was there in the Middle East.
So they say, and, yeah.
So they say, obviously, but it just seems that, you know, it's like there's just this continual ongoing battle that's always been going on between, you know, the Egyptians, which I'm sure, for instance, I descended from, and, you know, some of the fundamental people from the Middle East. That's interesting.
Very interesting. So what we, again, here potentially are looking at is a continuation of a very long agenda. And you know, I remember getting a question about why it could be that an agenda can be propelled for so many, for such a long time, or through so many generations. If we look at, you know, the fact that they might have been doing this for 6,000 years, maybe even more, and, you know, people can't get their head around why would someone who can't see the end of their, you know, of that achievement be propelling that along. There's different theories and ideas behind that. We might not even go into that this is an, you know, other entities or aliens involved here, but we could go there. Do you have
any, you could go there easily, yeah.
Of course. Do you have any theories about this?
To be honest, I'm not at the stage where I'm prepared to even really contemplate that, because I don't think anyone truly understands that. Until we see an event that obviously involves aliens, I'm not going to jump the gun and actually say, well, it's obviously something alien.
Yeah.
You never know whether it's just the balance of life, do you?
I talked to David Wilcock the other day, and we talked a little bit about genetics and you know,
right,
throughout the idea that these guys potentially are aware that if you keep the genetic structure, if you will, of a certain family, chances are that you actually will reincarnate back into that same family line, because your soul, as it were, is actually connected to a certain genetic structure, meaning that
that's interesting.
If a certain genetic structure actually pops up, then your soul is actually going to be attracted to that point, and you are going to incarnate right there. And
as far as as far as aliens and extraterrestrials are concerned, I'm more inclined to come from the angle of something that's extra dimensional.
Yeah.
I.e. something that's working in a different wavelength. Because for instance, like if you look at the DNA, for instance, there's a lot of research gone into the DNA and the junk DNA, and it contains human linguistic patterns.
Indeed.
And when you're looking at all that, and I don't know, it just ever occurs to me that this is something extra dimensional rather than out there into the universe.
Yeah, yeah, of course.
That's my instinctive force, like, telling me that.
Of course, and I mean, come on, it could even be a combination of all of these things. I mean, the universe is a big place. We've not even managed to scope out what the heck is going on this planet, and we're going to, you know, start putting answers out there, what's happening out in the universe.
I think it's all a big lie. I think there's a brick wall about 11 miles up there. you come to the end of it.
So this this is a petri dish then, planet Earth?
Pretty much, yeah. It's one of those little air bubbles in a cup of coffee or something.
Well, I mean, and that doesn't make it less important or less interesting, of course. maybe more so. You know, I wanted to make a few more comments. Frederick dropped me a note here earlier about if we go back, actually again, to the 1936 and the Nazi Olympics and connect that with a movie. In Contact, I don't know if you've seen the movie.
I've seen it, and I've been meaning to watch that again recently, because I've figured that there's probably messages in there I should be picking up.
it's very interesting. Obviously, Carl Sagan behind the book Contact, and I think he was involved in the movie script as well there. But anyway, there is one scene there at the beginning when they first initially make the contact, and I think that they are using the first televised signal from one of the Nazi rallies. Now, it might even have been during the Olympics when Hitler makes one of his speeches.
That's strange,
isn't
it?
They have exactly that the aliens are sending out, you know. So there's definitely could be something to that, just the contact theme, and it might also be a hint It gives us a hint that the Nazis actually made some kind of contact. They actually made some, you know, they peered through another dimension. They got in contact with someone, and that later actually might have spawned or initiated the what happened in Roswell, because we know that the paperclip scientists like von Braun and all these other people went over there at the White Sands Laboratories and continue their research on the rockets. You know.
Yeah. No, it's interesting that. I mean, I'm inclined to view that obviously everything that the Hitler and the Nazis did was all part of this, you know, it's obviously part of this same thing. It's a continuation of it all the way through.
Yeah.
Yeah. But obviously, that's when it was really heating up with the whole, you know, theosophy and everything that was going with it and occult symbolism everywhere you look.
Yeah, of course.
Definitely all coming out then, wasn't it?
Oh, obviously. I also want to talk a little bit about another guy, and to kind of just dovetail this with what you've been talking about with the introduction of a new messiah. And this was regarding a program we did with a guy called William F. Mann, who is a Canadian Knights Templar within the Freemasonic branch of that. And we talked, you know, a little bit about this story of the bloodlines, what they are doing right now in regards to genetic research, and that they actually are looking for. And he claimed that they actually also have found a specific line, if you will, or a specific genetic property within a family line that has to do with all this. He was kind of a little bit mysterious, I guess, in trying to encapsulate this in a more mysterious veil, if you will. But anyway, what he talked about was this idea that they were in a way waiting for a new messiah. He talked about it that they needed. Or we, he said in the program, we need a leader. We need someone who can take charge and unite all of these fighting factions on planet Earth. And obviously he never came out and said a name, who it was at this time and so forth. That, you know, just suggests a little bit at least that there is this kind of, talk and research going on even within, within some of the lodges, at least over there in Canada.
Yeah, definitely.
Imagine that this is worldwide, but... And the question that I posed to him, and I can post kind of ask you the same, was that who is this leader for? I mean, because to a certain extent, I don't care if someone comes along and claims that he's the king of the earth or descendant of Jesus or whatever. I mean, to one extent, it doesn't matter to me. It doesn't affect me, not at least directly. And people can go and worship that if they want to or whatever. But he claimed that it actually was for the elites themselves. This was something for all the factions at the top who are fighting at the top of the pyramid. And it was for them. They need a uniting force. But for the man on the street, for people like us, it doesn't mean anything. What's your take on that?
Well, I mean, I adhere to that because obviously, if it wasn't for our, supposed leaders, then we wouldn't be at war anyhow. Because if you ever speak to anyone in the countries and stuff, they never want to be fighting with someone else, do they?
Yeah.
It's not natural to be at war, even though they'll tell you it is. I mean, I don't know. I obviously don't understand what the people at the top of the pyramid obviously need, and I don't understand the actual kind of, internal bickering that they might be having, but as far as I'm concerned, I don't need some Christ-like figure to worship.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? It's not a necessity. If, for instance, obviously we have got issues in the world, we've got greed and we've got power and we've got war and we've got violence and we've got jealousy and stuff, and these things will always be there while the world exists as it is. I mean, what I've been thinking of a recent days essentially is that, this event that I've seen coming, I don't necessarily think it's going to be a bad event. It's going to be a good event, in the sense of I do believe that a spiritual society is going to be a much better society than what we've got now. Mm-hmm. But I still can see this being, the fact that it's still going to be like a spiritual society, but it's going to be ingrained in like a pyramid of oppression, i.e. in the same kind of class system sense.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the difficult aspect to comprehend. And I mean, if you look at, like, for instance, the the Georgia Guidestones, and they've got the 10 Guidestones, and it was anonymously erected by R.C. Christian, and obviously R.C. Christian is an anagram or a wordplay on Christian Rosenkrantz, who's the founder of the Rosicrucians.
Right.
And obviously they've outlined on those the Ten Commandments on those Guidestones, you know, their vision for a new world. And obviously it is based on a spiritual society. It's based on a lot of, you know, a lot less people as well. 500 million, I think it was, that they wanted to bring the population down to. And it could be that, you know, what is going to unfold is going to ascend the population, but it's going to reduce the population. And, it could be that they're making this world for their own.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that's what they've been working towards. I don't know. It's a difficult subject in that sense, because there's you could look at it from two angles. You look at it as, I mean, my personal opinion is all this Alex Jones Prison Planet, InfoWars, fear-mongering on a political and government level, that's doing no good whatsoever. And it's because it's just, you know, diversions from the real truth behind it all anyhow. But aside from that, there's this perception growing that there's this Big Brother-style police state growing around us.
Yeah.
Which is obviously we have got police, you know, added numbers of policemen and stuff like that going around. But I can't help but all of this is needed to then move us into this spiritual stage. You know, this is all a fictitious kind of, like, story. We're going to have to make us look like we're putting this horrible society on people involving, like, you know, the police and everything that goes with it, Big Brother.
Yeah.
I don't think that they could ever, you know, logically, they can never implement anything like that anyhow, because the people will always win.
That's a good point. I mean, they have been setting up the rules for the planet. Also, to some extent, they've managed to implement a system on a global level, and they've been running the show basically from day one. That doesn't mean that people within the system still have power or freedom to do what they want to. Of course, there's still. It isn't a prison planet on one level. I mean, we are, you know, if we don't pay attention to all of this stuff and just move away from it, there's still possibility of us, you know, just living out in the forest, having a nice time and never even bothering about what's going on here, you know. That might change.
Interestingly enough, seeing what I see and stuff, when this was a bit back and I was looking at Prison Planet website, and, you know, I've stopped looking at it since, because it's just, guess you're stressed out for no reason, but basically, if you look at the words "prison planet," you could look at it as "prison plan ET."
Yeah, there you go. Exactly.
You know, the ET prison plan.
Yeah, exactly.
No, I mean, play on the words.
It's a good point. I think for me, from my point of view, it's more like I want to keep, you know, a little bit of track on everything, what's going on. I mean, stuff in the geopolitical world that's interesting to one extent, but then, as you say, there's another level to it. And I actually want to read just a quote here in regards to that idea of how potentially we're being even played on a geopolitical level. And this was something that was released to a journalist who didn't reveal the exact source, but this was a senior within the Bush administration that talked to this journalist, and he reposted this in I think it was the New York Times or Washington Times. I could dig that out and reference that on our the information page on this radio show. But anyway, he said, the quote says like this, the aide said that guys like me, he's talking about the journalist guy now then, is in what we call the reality-based community, which he defined as people who believe that solutions emerge from your judicious study of discernible reality. I nodded and murmured something about enlightenment principles and empiricism. He cut me off. That's not the way the world really works anymore, he continued. We are an empire now, and when we act, we create our own reality. And while you're studying that reality judiciously, as you will, we will act again, create other new realities, which you can study too. And that's how things will sort out. We're history's actors, and you, all of you, will be left to study just what we do. Isn't that interesting? Just in regards to that He's mentioning like that guy in the X-Files who approach Dana Scully and say, "I work with a group who invent the future, or trying to I spoiled it already. He's saying that we're trying to realize what's going to happen. We're trying to predict the future." And he says the best way to predict the future is to invent the future.
Yeah.
So that's the I guess the one level trap on all this is that we're following and monitoring people who are operating on a level that they know that, okay, we actually create reality. When we move the empire, all the people are going to look at that, and nothing outside these parameters is going to be of interest to anyone, because they're spending all the time and energy looking at, you know, what happened through a specific political happening, even what happened at 9/11, all energy is going into that, you know, and to a certain extent, I see that it's a trap there. What do you think?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I moved away from the 9/11 truth stuff probably about 2 years ago now. It's difficult because people are working really, really hard in trying to bring stuff to the forefront there.
Of course.
But they it's almost like there needs to be this understanding that event was there for a reason, and it's this reason that we're following at the moment. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you might actually get your conviction of the people you're after, but even if they're convicted, these people are all instrumental in this plan, and they're never going to be sent to where we've told them been sent. Do you know what I mean? It's all part of the great plan that's unfolding around us, you know. William Shakespeare, the whole world's a play pretty much, isn't it? Or the whole world's a stage, sorry.
Yeah.
I mean that's the way I see things unfolding, and it's not good to get stuck in the past. Got to keep looking at the now.
Exactly, I hear what you're saying, and again, I think it's that balance between the two sides, because to one extent, if we totally ignore the past, then we're not going to be savvy to what's either going on now or what might be coming tomorrow. So obviously, like, looking at 9/11 is a very important thing. It's a key part of all of this too, because that actually helped many people to wake up to a larger
reality. Probably the catalyst, wasn't it? It was the main catalyst. I won't ever disagree that. I mean, the problem you've got is that, for instance, a lot of the people who are sticking with the 9/11, researching it on and on, and they keep coming up with more and more evidence, which is brilliant.
Mm.
But if and when something does happen, it's going to have jumped up on them, and they won't even know what's gone on.
Hmm.
Obviously, something on a different scale, a different level, obviously on the kind of levels that we're talking about.
The next level of the conspiracy, so to speak.
Yeah. Hmm. It's going to take them by surprise, because they've not put the efforts into, you know, understanding the current situation.
Right. On that note, I wanted to pop this question while we're talking about 9/11, because last time in the first segment of the program we did this past Sunday, you mentioned a little bit about loose change, and I got a question about that. If you could clarify what you meant, because we just rushed by that you had some suspicions about that, or
I mean, it's the same with Zeitgeist, really. You know, two whirlwind internet movies that essentially, you know, change the way my brain thinks, and change the way a lot of people's brains thinks.
Yeah.
And to think that the can't remember his name now, the man in question who made Loose Change pulled it all together, him and his friend
Dylan Avery,
you know, made all the music and stuff. Yeah, Dylan Avery, sorry. Mm. You know, they pulled it all together from the bedrooms, and they had a lot of footage there. They'd found a lot of footage, and I'm not saying that it can't be done, because it can be done.
Of course, yeah.
But I do believe that, you know, if you think that the grand plan is to usher in this age of spirituality, it obviously requires that there's going to be some kickstart to the change in people's consciousness.
Yeah.
And obviously, Loose Change gave that kickstart. Now, whether Dylan Avery got that kickstart from the universe, or whether, for instance, you know, that was part of the intended plan in to usher this consciousness up to the level that it needs to be at.
Hmm.
Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, of course. That would also then imply that whoever is providing these gentlemen with the material, funds, what have you, that they are... I mean, is that a dark, coming from a dark side or a negative side in regards to manipulation? Because that might be, some people have talked about, you know, the white brotherhood, what have you, that there's a kind of a benevolent force also working, you know, alongside the very negative force, and that you know, these guys are trying to raise our awareness. They're trying to you know, enlighten us, as it were. Do you think that's possible, then?
Who's that? Sorry, I misinterpreted that.
Well, basically, people are referring to it as the white brotherhood, that alongside the dark brotherhood, who's working in, you know, at negative things. There is this a group of other people who are working for positive change within the world. And albeit that they're still manipulating events, they're still pulling the strings, so to speak, but they're trying to make it so that it's moving in a positive direction. Do you think that's possible?
Yeah, I mean, it definitely is possible. Sorry, I don't know. I just the way I perceive it is that, for instance, you know, 9/11, loose change, and all that came after it was all part of the intended plan.
Yeah.
I'm not really inspiring the idea that there's two potential brotherhoods that are kind of fighting it out of sorts in the battle. I just there's something that tells me deep down that, you know, for instance, a year ago when I was, you know, thinking all about 9/11, or 2 years ago, sorry, and I'd realised it was an inside job, and I was running around telling all my friends.
Yeah.
That was what they wanted me to do. That was intended, because you know that was needed for the next stage that we're moving into.
Okay. So you're saying that is a negative thing, or do you want, you might not want to put those kind of connotations on it?
I'm not saying it's a negative thing, because I'm not necessarily, well, how it's difficult describing this, but
sure.
This whole idea that there's going to be this spiritual kind of ascension, if you want to call it that.
Yeah, yeah.
If you believe that the Illuminati, when they outline their plans for ascending the whole of the human population, you know, into a spiritual level, which is what they did say in 1776, it was, you know, essentially that they're going to ascend humanity.
Yeah.
You know, you could take a look at it as this is all required to get us to that spiritual state.
Right.
And I'm not saying that spiritual state is a bad state.
Sure, sure.
But because obviously I think that's going to be a much better state than we're currently in. You know, it's almost like these people who, the Illuminati, have decided that they wanted to ascend humanity to this higher level, have realised that that had to be done, because otherwise the Earth would probably collapse in on itself, i.e. we wouldn't look after it, we'd keep trashing it. Without the spiritual awareness, there'd be nothing left for anyone.
Yeah.
So basically the spiritual ascension side of things is required for the next stage of human evolution in a material body. So basically it's almost like there's this thing for me that what is going to happen, including this thing with William and everything, is potentially a better thing for the planet's survival itself.
Mm-hmm.
But this is for material reality that I'm talking about. You know, this isn't talking about trying to get outside of that material reality. Do you know what I mean?
And yet, what I see at this point is that the other side, or the side that potentially are trying to usher in this change now, then, in consciousness, as you say, they have also been very instrumental in preventing man from reaching a higher consciousness. You know, because of working on himself, he's been totally, you know, subjected to a lot of manipulation. He's been, you know, subjected to war, terror, you know, tragedy, disease, you know, you can name, you know, the whole list down.
Yeah. Well, if for instance you look at it on that scale, right, if for instance these people who know this information, who are ascending humanity, also realise that, for instance, death doesn't particularly matter, because essentially, you know, they'll reincarnate and they'll keep learning.
Yeah.
So you could look at it on that principle, and that's why death no longer means so much. But, sorry, I've lost my track here.
No, I think what you're getting at is that through the means, if you will, of tragic forces, man grow in a
right.
another way than if everything would be wonderful and positive all the time. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, I'm saying that basically, you know, for instance, it's a terrible thing when someone dies, and obviously, but if it was done with another means, as a means to ascend that spirit or soul to a different level, then obviously it's on a much grander plan, isn't it?
Yeah.
So basically, negativity is required and tragedy is required to ascend, you know, you know, the essence of love and everything that goes with it.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, that's a good point.
You can never know what you never know how good you've got it until you've seen it really bad.
That's right. And I don't know if we should say unfortunately then, but in many cases, the propellant, the catalyst in order to get things to happen in many cases is actually tragedy because horrific events or what have you. It seems to be something that's kind of hard coded, if you will, within the DNA or something.
Yeah.
I don't know what's going on, but in many cases, if everything is great in a way, that there's no progress.
There's no progress, no evolution, no nothing, is there?
No.
That's why I always until something happens sit on the fence as to whether to say that this thing is a really bad thing or this thing is a really good thing.
Right.
Deep down, what I've realised is that, you know, this thing to do with the sun worship and everything that goes with, like, worship of the sun and then the Trinity event and everything like that, is that is there to trick you into keep coming back into the material plane because you're feeding that system its energy. You're feeding the material world its energy there by, you know, recycling and coming back. And that's where the deceit is going on, i.e., this spiritual ascension could be a really good thing, but then no one's still going to be allowed to know the true essence of, you know, what they're trapped in, as such, with the reincarnation thing and everything. Do you understand what I'm trying to say?
Yes.
They're sending it so far. They're telling you so much, but not quite everything.
They give you just enough in order to
be a good person.
and to even keep your attention. There's something new there that kind of draws you in all the time, but they don't give you the full story because then they would reveal the plot, you know.
And that's for instance why I say when you hear the stuff to do with the New Age stuff and the people who are talking about spiritual ascension and everything that goes with it, it's like that's all very well and very good because it's brilliant for humanity, but it's only going to a certain level. There's that next stage on.
Hey, you know what? I think that this is a great thing to round things up here. We spent another great 2 hours with you, and it was very interesting talking more with you about this, ask you some more questions, and just toss different ideas, theories, philosophies around like this. I love it and appreciate it very much. So it's been
good.
Yeah, great having you back on the show. Tell us again about your website and if you have any, what plans you have for future posts or what's on the horizon for you, Rick.
Okay, well, the website's thecosmicmind.blogspot.com. Currently, I'm just going to be... I've essentially covered through this radio talk a lot of work, and I'm going to be spending a lot of my time compiling the evidence for you to actually read at your own time, and so you can see where I'm coming from. And that's my first step, really, to get on top of things.
Brilliant.
And then, obviously, I've recently been speaking to some friends of mine in association with getting some... maybe some videos produced on the back of my findings. So,
great.
Obviously, stay tuned.
Very good. Thecosmicmind.blogspot.com. Rick, thank you very much for coming on. We'll do it again soon, I hope.
Okay, yeah, that's brilliant.
Thank you.